agencies have new power now to hire experts to work on specific IT projects without having to go through the standard federal hiring process. The Office of Personnel Management authorizes the use of accepted service for digital services experts. Federal News Radio executive editor Jason Miller is here to talk about why OPM is taking this unusual step. First, my thought was that people who want to hire these folks all across government are going, hallelujah, that they don't have to go through the standard operating procedure.
Well, it's not only that. I mean, I think you're absolutely right that people, one, this is something many, many agencies have wanted. When I've talked to CIOs about these, this need for these digital services experts, there's a lot of head scratching going, okay, how are we going to do this? And how are we all going to do this? And how are we going to get them through this hiring process? So basically what OPM did was they said to the agencies, we know this is a huge need. We know time is short because the administration, it's a priority to get these digital services teams set up and having an impact on agency projects. So they basically said, we're going to allow you to basically do what they call accepted service appointments. We have a link to the CFAR 5, CFAR 23, whatever, on federalnewsradio.com. People can read it for themselves, but I'll summarize it. Basically, you can hire somebody for a one-year contract, basically, and it can be extended for another year, so up to 2 years, at the GS 11 to 15 levels for specific projects. So it's not, I just can't bring person X in and have them do whatever. It's person X to do Y, and only that. What's interesting about this is this is the type of authority that many people have been calling for hard to get, hard to find people. And I think this falls in that category.
So the idea, the way you explain it is, I'm at the Department of Fill in the Blank, and we are doing a financial management system transformation. And we're going to need this many people to do it. And so I'll be able to go and identify digital services people to work on that specific project.
Correct.
And do it in this way.
Now, remember, they have to have the budget.
Yes.
They can't just hire people without a budget.
Sure.
That's key. There's Anti-Deficiency Act problems that you don't want to mess with.
You don't want to deal with. Right. Okay.
They have to obviously have the FTEs within the agency. But what they're getting to do is say there are certain rules that typical federal hires have to go through. You have to make public notice. You have to look at all these all the different areas. Now, veterans' preference does still matter here. So a veteran would get higher preference over a non-veteran. But as OPM says in the memo, you don't necessarily have to make this announcement public, but we encourage you to make it public because you want to cast the widest net possible.
Right.
But listen, Francis, if someone said, hey, we like Francis Rose, he is the perfect fit for this job to do financial management, you know, innovation, they could just bring you on for a 1 year with a 1 year option.
I'm not aware of anyone in my 50 years on this planet who's ever said, we like Francis Rose, he's the perfect fit for this job. But I appreciate the analogy anyway. Why did OPM decide to do this now? Do we have any sense of whether the timing means anything?
I don't think it's a timing issue. I think there has been this call for agencies, from agencies, to get hiring authorities. One thing to keep in mind about this is OPM did grant this in quote-unquote pilot programs for 18F, that's over at GSA, the Office of Management and Budget's U.S. Digital Services Office. So they were allowed to use this accepted authorities to bring in people. And I wrote a story back in October that, you know, talked to Greg Godbout, the former director, executive director of 18F, who's now moved on to EPA to be their CTO. And he brought on about 86 people between March and October using this specific authority. And I think what happened was the USDS and 18F and others showed, hey, this works. And now OPM said we should give this to everyone because agencies are under the gun from OMB to create these digital services teams this year. And then they're funding them also into 2016 if the budget gets passed the way the president wants it, which we know rarely will happen. But the point is there's this push now from OMB to create these digital services teams, and agencies need to hire these people, and everybody needs to hire the same type of people. So I think OPM is saying, let's make this a little bit easier.
I mentioned, I just used financial management as an example, but do we have a sense whether there are projects like this that are shovel ready that these folks would go to work on?
Oh, you broke out the shovel ready.
I couldn't help myself.
The Recovery Act folks are going to cringe a little bit. So yeah, in fact, in the memo, there's a listing of about 36 candidate programs across 25 agencies that could automatically, you know, take advantage of these new hiring authorities. And a couple of them just came to mind that I highlighted. The Census 2020, the decennial census, is mm-hmm. one. Homeland Security Department's Einstein and their Continuous Diagnostics and Mitigation Programs, so two big cyber programs. The Department of Health and Human Services healthcare.gov program, which we know a digital services team came in and quote-unquote rescued that program when it was having lots of problems. Mm-hmm. The National Archives and Records Administration's Electronics Records Archive, the ERA program, again, a big program that could help. We have that list on federalnewsradio.com for people to look at.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that OPM did in the memo was actually highlight dozens of what they call agency transactional services from about 16 different agencies that also are good candidates for these types of digital services experts. And these, you know, transactional services really are about how the agency interacts with the citizen, with the business, and make those transactions easier. And I think that's why digital services expertise are needed there.
One of the things that I noticed about each of the things that you listed there, I don't have the high risk list memorized. I'm sure Gene Dodaro is probably driving off the road knowing that I don't have it seared into my brain. But each of those projects that you mentioned is very high profile if they aren't on the high risk list. And so I wonder if that has something to do with this move now to try to get these folks to be able to apply this kind of brain power quickly to some of these projects.
I wouldn't necessarily say it's a high risk list.
Yeah, and that's why. Yeah. And that's why I don't want to draw that conclusion. That's not fair. But they're all very high profile programs,
yes,
at which for which the government has already invested a lot of resources and made very high priorities.
That's the key. What you just said: high priorities, high resources. And there is, we'll use, quote, high risk, not necessarily GAO,
yes,
high risk list, but they are high risk programs. Not saying there's a problem with them or that something's going wrong, but the risk of failure is high and the consequences of failure is high. So,
yeah,
yes,
that's you got it. You got what I was getting at, which is historically these are the kinds of things that have gone off the rails before in government.
And in fact, if you go back in some history, how did OMB come up with these programs back when Karen Evans was and Mark Forman were at OMB? They had something called a high risk list. And for years, Congress and OMB went back and forth on whether that list should be made public. It eventually was. Long story short, I think, is these are all the same programs, same issues in the program, saying these are high profile, high impact, important, high dollar value programs. Not necessarily there's a problem with them, but we need to keep an eye on them because the consequences and potential failure is too big.
When I read between the lines of your story, you very explicitly did not say it because you reported the facts of the memo that we have from OPM. But I read between the lines the possibility that this... You talked about the pilot program with 18F and the U.S. Digital Services. It seems to me that this may be, even if they haven't said so, the next level of the pilot, where if this works for this kind of hiring, that 6 months, a year, 18 months from now, we could see this happen, grow again.
I think it has to be on specific instances.
Yes.
So I'll make the comparison, though it's not a one-to-one comparison, to cybersecurity positions. OPM for years ago, probably over more than 10 years ago, through the help of Congress, created what they call direct hire authority for cybersecurity positions. They also do it for doctors, nurses, other really hard to find job classifications. This is not a direct hire authority. Let me be clear about this. This is accepted service. But they saw a need. They said the need has to be filled immediately, and they said, what tools do we have in our toolbox? Could they use this for other people, other parts of job descriptions in government? Absolutely. Will they? I think it's a little hard to tell, because what stops you from saying, well, we're going to do this for, you know, contracting officers versus, you know, procurement assistant reps, or what are we going to do this for attorneys versus program managers? I mean, there are a lot of areas in government where there's a shortage of qualified people and a shortage of people more generally. So I think once you go, it potentially is a slippery slope. So once you do one, why not do them all? And then you've just changed the whole way you do hiring. And I don't think OPM is trying to do that.